If you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith serve them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. So last month, we pretty much stayed in one section of the Bible for the month, and we're doing the same thing this month. Now, the book is James, the letter of James, which is a somewhat has been a somewhat problematic part of the scripture. Martin Luther didn't like it at all. He wanted to disinclude it from the canon of scripture, from the New Testament. And of course, other people really do like it. You may or may not be familiar with the book of James. Even if you're not, you are probably, most likely, familiar with at least the argument of faith versus works. And some people will tell you that Paul is on one side of that argument, James is on the other side, and the two are irreconcilable. And I would say that that's actually not the case. I would say that Paul and James are much closer on this issue than a lot of people might think. So, James says that without works, faith is dead. And he begins this particular text by saying, if you fulfill the law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. You shall do well. Note that James says the law is love. He doesn't say the law is faith. And the law in Hebrew terms is everything that is based on the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments don't say anything about faith, but they have quite a bit to say about how we live with God and one another, how we do things, how we carry out our love, and the requirement to do these things faithfully. All of the Old Testament texts that are based on the law, that the first five books, is about you behave in a loving way. And it got pretty specific about some of the rules. And as we have noted earlier, those rules were based on their situation, their time, their experiences and circumstances. And there were nuances. Even back then, there were nuances. If this happens, but this exists, then the penalty is not so severe. So it was based on the context. But it's all about works. The law says do this and don't do that. So, what James says here is if we fail in one little part of the law, then we're a lawbreaker because it's all one. And how can that be? How can it be that if I do something wrong, one tiny little thing, I make a mistake, that goes against the letter of the law, am I actually doomed? Does that actually mean that I have rejected the whole body of scripture and the whole Ten Commandments and the whole canon of Torah? That's kind of what it sounds like. And we know that nobody's perfect. We know that we all break the law in some way at some time every single day, intentionally or unintentionally. How can that be so bad? So one thing is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to me, but maybe a big thing to somebody else, maybe a big thing to God? For instance, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. My future daughter-in-law has this amazing veil for her wedding. I mean, it is truly amazing. I don't even remember what the dress looks like, but the veil is amazing. Now, I could be envious, or somebody else could be envious of that. Oh my goodness. Oh gosh, I wish I had had a veil like that. Since I had an outdoor wedding, it would have been highly inappropriate, but so I'm coveting. I'm coveting. That's just a little thing, right? And there are rabbis who will argue that that is the most important of all the Ten Commandments, because coveting can lead to theft, it can lead to murder, it can lead to adultery, it can lead to dishonoring of, it can lead to all the others. It's like the open door, it's like the beginning of a slippery slope. So if I break the law in some way, big or small, however I perceive it, maybe it's not that particular rule that I broke. Maybe I had a good reason, as we talked about. Maybe the circumstances were appropriate for what I did. The key is, why did I do that? Was I acting thoughtlessly without love? Or was I acting thoughtfully and did what I felt would be best for the most people? I think that's the key. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." We don't say, "My Father in heaven, give me today my daily bread." You might throw in some cake and some lasagna and some ice cream as well. We say, "Give us our daily bread. Give all of us together our daily bread." And that's what James is talking about. If a brother or sister lacks daily food and you say, "Go in peace, eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what's the good of that? It may sound good, may sound faithful, doesn't help the person at all. That's not acting in love. Paul says in Ephesians that we are saved not by law, and not even by faith. He says, we are saved by grace, through faith. And grace is the gift of God. Grace is the presence of God. And faith is how we take hold of that. We don't have to take hold of it. Faith gives us access to that grace. Think about somebody who's crossing the road and there's traffic, and somebody else sees the danger, and in spite of the rules about jaywalking, grabs you out of that roadway and saves you from being killed by an oncoming car. Okay, that's grace. That's love. When that happens, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Are you going to say, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You saved my life. I am not going to cross the road like that again"? Or You turn around and walk back into the road. So grace is God's gift, and faith is how we take hold of it and claim it for ourselves and live by it, instead of just rejecting it and say, oh, well, doesn't matter how often I sin, because God is full of grace and forgiveness, and he's just going to forgive me. And so as long as I have that faith, I've got my ticket to heaven. No. God has saved us by grace. And that means it matters what we do. Our works matter. It is God's grace that saves us. It is my faith, your faith, our faith that leads us to respond with acts of love, that leads us to respond in works, because faith without works is really not faith at all. It negates the love of God, which is the worst sin of all, because it cuts us off from God and from one another. Faith by itself, without works, is dead. But the living faith in the grace of God saves. Thanks be to God. Amen.